But yes, maybe close to a question that John just raised, and that's about asymmetric noise. So, what about 10 years ago, together with Dorita Aron of Noam San Marcin, we just asked what happens if you just have a closed system, you have a system with no extra instead of bits, you can set it off very accurately, so it's in a zero position, and then you start operating, but there is noise. A lot, so you can't call it a closed system because there's noise, but you don't get to measure and read the input, read the output, and then correct. So you can't really get rid of the entropy. Well, then what one expects is that if you have independent depolarizing noise in every qubit, then well, you're starting with n qubits, and each qubit has some constant probability of being hit by the noise. Then just one collector after log n time, everything will be hit with high probability, and you'll just have a completely random system. And that's true if you're just trying to not operate in between and trying to correct. So every qubit will be hit, that's true, but you can try to move things. So we went out to really prove rigorously that if you allow any unitary operator, or possibly measurement, but not looking at the result, between noise steps, and to prove that even then, after log n steps, you'll just be very close to the identity. and indeed, what one gets is so you start.
Great.
So essentially, one gets is that if you look just at you have your system. And you start with zero. That's your initial step on n qubits. And then you can look, and all along the way you have some row, you have some. So at each time step you have noise, and the noise is just depolarizing. And then you're allowed to do whatever unitary operator on the full set, then what you can show is that S of rho each time t, let's say from the identity, well, that would be less than 1 minus p. Here's the probability of depolarizing to the power of t. So after logarithmically number of steps, p, 2p, whatever, but scaling your p. So essentially, after a while, this will be less than 1 over, once this is less than 1 over n, and essentially, when you read any bit, then you can make it as close to a given some epsilon, say, constant epsilon. If you read just one bit, then you'll get it. That will be not much distinguishable from the point. So it's not true that the whole distribution will be. Distribution might be very hard to simulate. Suppose you're just trying to computing a Boolean function on n bits and trying to use quantum computation to speed that up. And after logarithmic many steps for this type of noise, essentially nothing will happen. And then I guess so essentially it shows that you need fresh ancillary bits in order to run the computation beyond logarithmically many steps. Now, so that's one part of the result. The other part, so that's the lower bound.
Should there be a factor of n there? or if not, then why is it about
n times? Yeah, So you get this is below some epsilon, and then therefore get that. You can also show an upper bound. Well, you can compute. So if p is small, p is below the threshold. You can use the quantum error correcting scheme and compute for a while. If you care to encode things correctly, you have to predict possible. So your ancillary bits are bigger, the zeros are getting ruined along the way. You can still compute, for almost logarithmic time, so we don't get really logarithmic time, but log. You really, and this has to do also, so almost, then almost log time. The reason why you don't get log time is because, unlike classical computation, actually it takes time. There's a time delay, more than a constant time delay when you do fault-tolerant computation. So you actually you pay also a logarithmic term, so you get log n for log, you get for log n for log log n times. According to the scheme we currently have, but so there's a small gap here. But it's not. So then I guess years back, Robert Olitti asked, well, what happens if we don't have an equal rising noise, just in a different channel? Well, then there's definitely one type of noise which is very helpful. That's a strong amplitude damping noise. So that type of noise, well, suppose my noise model is take any qubit and just raise it to zero. Well, that's a great noise, because then I can really run quantum computation and compute my syndromes there at high entropy, and somehow I just put them to the side, wait 1 second, everything is zeroed out, and I can run the computation for as long as I wish. So it's not as long as I wish, because still there's some probability that everything will be hit. So so it's easy to see that a strong amplitude. Damping, you get exponential time. And as well, with some probability everything will be hit, but you can just encode and can run things for quite some time, almost exponential. And but this was a very particular type of noise. Really, every time step, with some probability, small probability, things are zeroed out. And the question was, what happens with other noise? What about in general qubits? So essentially, looked at that recently, and I thought I'll be able to present it in a neat way. So the proofs I currently have are not nice. It is also there, but the proofs are. Not all the results are as strong as I'd like to, but there's, you can look at what is a general. So let's look at first at unital noise. There's unital noise, and that comes in two flavors. One is general depolarizing. And phasing. So if you just look at the log sphere, what a depolarizing noise does is just reduce everything, multiplies and compresses the log sphere from all directions by the same amount. And what you'd call a general depolarizing is, instead of instead of compressing this exactly the same from all directions, well, allow yourself a little bit, compresses everything, but slightly different directions are multiplied by different constants. So in that sense, if you look at the mapping, you can have with this kilometer here. Well, sphere. So then it's compressed, and after you apply it, it sits completely within. So you get the whole thing is somehow here in between, though things might not be, this is exactly depolarizing, it might be slightly different. So you multiply each coordinate by, say, lambda 1, lambda 2, and lambda 3, and there are conditions, not everything. You can multiply things by arbitrary constants that will be a completely positive channel. There are conditions, say, an absolute value, lambda 1 is their order according to the numbers, then lambda 1, I'll see, this is one of the conditions, should be 3 cents. So this should be less than 1 plus lambda 3. So in particular, you can't just compress, you know, lambda 3 can't be 0, lambda 1, lambda 2, or 1. That would exactly correspond to a transpose operation, which is not complicated. So you have, but essentially you compress things, and then what you would expect to get is that essentially the same behavior as the depolarizing noise, when things are compressing along the way, and it should behave as though just pick the largest lambda as the depolarizing noise, and things should behave that way. Sort of what one would expect. For a phase damping channel, then what happens is that, of course, you just compress from two sides, so lambda is, in this representation, lambda 1 and lambda 3. See? So you get that you're compressing things, and then that's essentially the type of noise that happens when you're measuring the bit. So what happens there, so here you'd expect what you'd expect and improve here. You get same as depolarizing. What does it say, lambda 1? That's the bounds we get. The proof itself is slightly more complicated. So the upper bound, well, it's just the noise. So if you have a weak noise, then you can still compute. So if all the lambdas are very close to 1, then you can still compute. Otherwise, well, I guess I'll just tell you what what I really thought was that this would be an easy case, and somehow even that ends up to be a little bit more complicated than it looks. What one would have thought that, well, let's first compress things up to the largest eigenvalue, and then that increases already the entropy. So you already get the increase from here, and then have another channel to compress the other two directions. The only problem is that if you try to do that, then the operator that you get from here is not completely positive, so you can't do that. So you have to reprove that. So we do that. We'll go into the details. For the phase damping, then here you can clearly compute so here you get computing. So you can keep an entanglement depending on two outside you want to say or keep path beneath the object. The object for long n over long n. Because so clearly when you just have a phase damping, you can compute forever if you're computing classically. So the question is, so there's just no noise if you just keep things just on the 0-1 basis and keep on computing. And the question is, what happens if you try to do something which is quantum? So one way of defining that you can do something quantum is just to keep happening, just keep entangling to qubits as a side. And then you can clearly encode it into log n qubits using an error correcting code, and then keep on correcting this. And each time step, you'll have to use logarithmically many ancillary bits, and those will remain clean. So you can do that for another log n time, and that seems to be the optimal thing you can do. Somehow, we can show that you can't go for long, so and this we actually get log n, you can get about the entropy grows by log n every step, and after n over log n time, you're ready. And what we can show is that our upper bound is weak in this case, not for more than n to some power, and I guess you get something like c equals 4 or 6, I don't even, or which is c equals 4. But this is the correct bound. And it's clear how we're really losing here. because of the type of proof that we're doing it the wrong way. So that's probably why we don't want to show this proof. And I guess that this is the correct time. So that's the unit of noise. All channels of unitary transformation would look either this or non-unital. So for non-unital, what you get is if the noise is weak, then essentially if you apply the noise many times, essentially everything is sort of going to some point within inside the block sphere. So the whole block sphere is compressed, has to be compressed, and it's essentially up to unit. So you can apply unit transformations so that things will eventually just go to some particular point. So if you try to run your computation, fault-tolerant computation, general fault-tolerant computation, then you get some hot syndrome. Just leave it on the side for a while, possibly applying unit transformation so that things will converge to that point. So now you have many copies, independent copies of some point, and then you want to get to distill out of that zero. So what you do is you actually run Schumacher compression. That leaves you with high entropy compressed thing, but with zeros, which will be pretty clean enough to use for fault-tolerant computation. So essentially, non-unital, if the noise is weak enough, for weak enough noise, can distill almost the cleanness. So and therefore, can compute for I guess exponential. So it seems to suggest that a weak noise directed in some direction would help you work with a closed system. The numbers aren't nice, so I don't think that's. I would suggest anybody trying to work with few bits and not with many ancillary bits to try to add the noise. But essentially, this does a classification of all types of channels for one qubit. Natural question is what happens if you have more qubits. Then it's clear that if you have at least if you have d-dimensional systems and you have enough angles where you're not compressed, you can actually encode a qubit in general computation. And that's essentially what happens in higher dimensions, but I think we have.
Do you have any results for what happens? So I guess these results are that you can do, you can store in the phase damping channel for n over log n time.
Yeah.
That's if you're below the threshold.
Below the threshold, certainly, yeah. Below.
Do you have any results about what happens when you're above that threshold?
No.
So is it possible there's some kind of intermediate thing, or? And maybe where you can store certain kinds of quantum states and not others.
Well, that's exactly. So that's similar to the question that John raised. So you do get different types. It's a extreme example where you really don't have noise in one direction, weak noise in the other direction, and can use. So my guess would be that you'd get for quantum computation, you get the same threshold result, which is the threshold might be higher. Because you might be able to use different codes, but you still be using code, and I still instead of 10 to the minus. It might change the constants. I don't think it would change much. The way, at least, we know how to handle it. Not that I know much.
So, for when you say with phase jamming, you can keep half an APR pair for you know n over log n time. Is that where the you have a little bit of x and y preserved, or
no? So,
is that still working?
So if you have some probability of if you look at a weak phase damping challenge, it's something you can think that with some probability you'll measure or and otherwise just leave it. That's a good example. So then you just encode things into logarithmically many qubits, and that's stable enough to you know you can keep error correcting that along the way, and that's stable.
Mm-hmm. But what about strong phase damping?
Strong phase damping. Well,
you basically measure with very high.
So that's exactly what Daniel just asked. You can. Well. So of course, it's extremely strong. Then I'm not sure how long you'll be able to keep. So the error, you have to devise different error correcting mechanisms. You might be able to work with higher levels.
Obviously, you can do one interesting thing, which is you can keep classical information.
Yeah, no, so yeah. So classical information can be kept for as long as you wish. The question is really keeping it on to be on the side.
Yeah.
Okay, if there are no further questions, then we'll break until 11:45 and invite us to the